And so as I stand up here, I definitely admit that I am a man trying to talk to a bunch of ladies today, and so hopefully that won't cloud the issue too much, because we recognize, biblically speaking, there is a difference between men and women. Books have been written on it about how to understand these things. Jokes, I mean, comedians make entire livings on joking about the difference between men and women. How many of you have ever heard of a book called Men Are Like Waffles, Women Are Like Spaghetti? Okay. Fantastic concept. I'll admit I haven't read the book, but I get the idea behind it. Men seem to have an ability to compartmentalize their lives. We can think about work without thinking also about home. We can focus ourselves so that we're concentrating on one thing at a time, but our ladies seem to have the uncanny knack of paying attention to everything in a single moment. And so how many of us guys have awoken to our wives saying, "Honey, did you hear what I said? I'm sorry, what? I didn't even know you were talking to me. I was reading the paper or working on this." And but if mom is cooking dinner and she hears the laundry buzzer go off in the basement and she hears the baby cry a couple of rooms away, she hears all these things. That's why when men babysit, you know, things tend to happen. Because if we try to work and babysit at the same time, one of them gets pushed off to the side, right? We compartmentalize, guys. Our ladies can't do that. And so the idea is men can compartmentalize like a waffle. There's little individual squares, and we keep working that one. We keep this in there. But our ladies think about the things in a giant plate of spaghetti. Where does one noodle end and the next one begin? And that's where their thoughts and emotions lie. Everything connects. And if she begins pouring out her heart to you about what's concerning her, guess where it's going to go? Everywhere. That trouble she's having at her job is going to connect to things that are going on at church. You're going to connect to things that are going on elsewhere. And before you know it, you say, "How did we wind up over here?" Well, you followed that spaghetti strand through the pile of noodles, and you wound up somewhere in the middle of it. Well, Our Lady. Men, I'm not going to try to say today that concern and anxiety and worry are something that's unique to ladies. It's not like men don't worry. We tend to worry differently. We worry maybe about different things. But I also happen to know that many ladies confess to struggle with concern. So we're going to talk today about cutting through a woman's concern. And hopefully this won't come out like a man trying to address a lady's issue. And so I'm kind of aware of that fact. I'm a little self-conscious about standing up here talking about it. But I hope as we go through it that as we look at passages in the Scriptures that the Spirit of God will minister to you ladies in this area. That because I'm intimately acquainted with one lady sitting right over there, that I have at least an exposure to this area of struggle with our ladies. Ladies, we know you struggle with worry. And I know that those of you who struggle with worry, one of your worries is that you're abnormal or weird because you struggle with worry. But I also know that the statistics bear out that you're not alone. Most ladies struggle with anxiety and worry. And you worry about the things you forgot to do during the day. You worry about your kids, no matter how old they are. You worry about your grandchildren. You worry about your husbands and their job or whatever they're doing. When they're out in the shop working, you worry about whether or not they're going to come back with all their fingers intact. You worry when they go out shooting with the kids that the kids aren't going to come back looking like Swiss cheese. And you worry about these things. And sometimes, you know, you worry in just cause. I was watching the kids, air quotes, right? I was watching Joshy one time, but I was also trying to get a few things done on the computer. And I hear this metal clanging sound coming from behind me. And I turn around and Joshy has the scissors just sitting on the floor. And this is being recorded, so Ethan, we probably better edit this part out or CYS will be on the door. But I turn around and Joshy has gotten into the drawer where the scissors are, and he's just sitting there, right? Like, ooh, don't let your attention lapse. So, you know, sometimes it's a justified worry when Kim says, "Now, are you going to watch the baby?" And I get offended. But yes, I'm going to watch the baby. What do you think? I'm going to let him pull out scissors and kill himself? Right? You know, they worry about ladies. They worry about their relationship with other ladies at work, in the church, in the neighborhood. They rehearse conversations in their mind. They recite the nuances of the words that were used. What did she mean by that? And why would she have said it that way instead of a different way? You worry about your health. You worry about your dress size. You worry about whether you're still beautiful. You worry about upcoming church socials and whether there's going to be enough pasta salad. And this is all in the first 10 minutes of laying down on your pillow at night. All of these strands of thought and emotions connect in one seamless stream. And when you try to, sometimes, I'm going to make fun of our guys here for a second. Sometimes when you try to talk to your guy about this, he doesn't make things any better because he will respond to it in typically male fashion. Try to cut those noodles up and fit them into the little corners of the waffle. Right? Or he'll listen to the first 3 inches of the spaghetti noodle and say, you know what? I've got it all sorted. Here's the problem, and here's 5 steps on how you're going to solve that. And you're saying, that's not helpful. Just a word of advice, guys, and I know most of you have been married long enough, you probably know this already. Sometimes she just wants to get the noodles out, right? And we're sitting there, and we say, there's this pile of noodles. We're saying, whoa, how do I sort this out? She doesn't always want you to sort it out. She just wants you to see the pile of noodles, appreciate it for what it is, and listen to her. And if that's correct, guys, or ladies, you can go ahead and nudge your husbands and say, see, I told you so. So, yeah, yes, exactly. We do have to use our noodles. And guys, we'll talk to you a little bit later on when we come to Father's Day. We'll discuss some of those sorts of things. But we are commanded, men, to dwell with our wives according to knowledge. That means we're supposed to understand this gal and how she ticks. And so we have to kind of have this knowledge of when does she actually want me to troubleshoot this and when does she want me to just listen because she's concerned. And that's how she's going to process it. And again, statistics bear out that women tend to process what they're thinking much better when they can talk it out. Guys tend to be more internal. That's why we get that focused look on our face when we're thinking about a problem. And your kids come along and say, Dad, are you okay? And so we internalize things, but our gals want to talk it out because they're worried about something. It's something that's running through their mind, and they're trying to follow all the spaghetti strands, and they just can't get to the end of it because they're not talking it out. And if we just let them talk it out, sometimes that helps. And sometimes, yes, guys, we are the leaders in the home. We're the spiritual leaders. We have to know the difference of when they just want to talk things out and when it's time to say, well, here's some biblical wisdom that I think would help with that. But guys, we never want to try to change our wives into thinking like men. I mean, the ridiculousness of it, for one thing, because they're not men, but also because God created them that way. Because what did he say on day 6 when he created man? I'm going to create man in my image. Male and female, he created them. Okay? The image of God is not just reflected in manhood, it's reflected in personhood. Both of them together reflect the image of God. So there are some things about God that are distinctly male, which is why he's called Father. There's something about that relationship as father and husband that reflects the image and glory of God. And yet at the same time, there is something unique about womanhood that reflects the glory of God. Tell me, guys, that you think you have more tenderness and compassion towards your children than your gals do. Probably not. I mean, we do, in our own way, we do. And that fatherhood does reflect the way God thinks about his children. But so does momness. Is that a word? We're going to make it a word, momness. In the image of God, he created him, male and female, he created them. So a woman's concern, that ability to think about situations in depth reflects the concern of God for his things, for his creation, for his people. Jesus even uses the imagery of God as a mother hen, wanting to bring the chicks underneath of her to take care of them and nurture them while they're growing. But we all recognize there's a problem. And that problem came in the very beginning. So moms, Some of you think, well, boy, I just worry so much. I don't understand why I worry. I must be alone. No other woman worries because they all look like they've got it together, right? And you hear the people talking on Focus on the Family, and apparently they never worry about anything. They've got it all straight. That's why they can have radio shows about it. Because they got it figured out and they got it solved, and that person has everything in their thinking together. But how far back does this idea of a woman's concern go? Well, back in Genesis chapter 3, what did God say to the woman? Because you've done this thing, I will surely multiply your pain in childbearing, and pain you shall bring forth children. That's not just talking about the physical process of birth. It has a lot to do with that. Yes, before the fall, childbirth would have been much, much easier. But here we are after the fall, and guess what? The natural part of childbirth is hard, it's laborious, it's painful. But so is the whole child-rearing process. Raising children is difficult. Raising children is full of pain. Raising children is full of weariness and anxiety and mental, emotional exhaustion. Because not only, ladies, has your thinking and image of God been corrupted by the fall, but guess what? That little innocent baby you've carried has been corrupted by the fall. It's hard for us to think about. Because they're so cute, and we just love to hold them, give them hugs and kisses, and look at them watch, or look at them grow, and watch them learn how to walk and learn how to do new things. But when they pick their cup up off the tray and hold it off the side and look at you and drop it, and we say, no, don't do that, and you hold it back to them, and what do? There it goes. Why do kids do this? Because from the moment they're conceived, they are conceived sinners. And so that process of child raising has become laborious and emotionally draining because you're dealing with sinners. You're a sinner and you're dealing with sinners. And how do sinners deal with sinners? They sin. They do it wrong. They don't do it God's way. And so this whole thing, this reflection of the image of God has been corrupted. And it has been since the very beginning. Do you think Eve didn't worry about her kids? Have your sons... one of your sons ever beat the other one to death in the field? You think that didn't cause Eve some concern? Sure it did. So, wait, ladies, you're not alone. This has been, come on, from the beginning. It's been something that's going on since Eve brought it to us. You know, Adam says an interesting thing about Eve right after the condemnation by God and the pronouncement of judgment. Chapter 3, verse 20, it says, the man called his wife's name Eve because she was the mother of all living. We all descend from her. We all descend from Adam, which means we inherited all of those characteristics. All of that sinfulness, all of that corruption has been passed down from one to the next, to the next, to the next, to the next. And some of us have better examples of Christian parenting. Some of us have worse examples of Christian parenting. Some of us have no example of Christian parenting. And some people have the most horrible examples of parents ever. Yet it is God's grace that redeems. And so, how does he want you to handle that worry? And we understand, worry is not something God wants us to be doing. We're going to be going through that. But how does he want you to deal with this? When you lay down on your pillow at night and you just can't shut it off because all these things start running through your head, what do you do with that? It does, in one way, reflect the image of God in your concern for things, but we recognize that there is a difference between legitimate concern and worry. And it's hard to define. I could try to stand up here and put, you know, a man's kind of definitions to it. That's what we guys like to do, is dissect everything and try to chop it all up and say, well, there's that part, and there's that part over there, and there's that part. And if we think we can chop it all into pieces, then we can understand it better, and then it doesn't have any control over us. And to some degree, that's true, because didn't God give guys a special way of thinking about things too? And so, you know, ladies, you do have to rely on your guy's thinking sometimes, just like sometimes he's got to rely on your thinking. Incidentally, fellas, don't ignore that woman's intuition. Sometimes we scoff at it, oh no, you're seeing things that aren't there, but you know how many times I have ignored my wife's intuition on things, and it turns out she was right. She was perceiving things that I didn't see were there. Don't know how she does it, but she saw it. So, Let's take a look at some biblical principles about anxiety, about worry, about concern. If you want to call it concern, that's fine. Because really, the line between anxiety or worry and concern is a very, very thin one. And so, first thing we're going to look at is, you don't have to turn there, but I want you to bring up in your mind Proverbs 31. Because this is one we often read through on Mother's Day, and we read through this, and I know what happens. We read through that, and all the ladies say, "Oh, I can never be like that girl. Look at everything she does. I mean, she's preparing food all night long. She's sewing all her own clothes. She's buying fields to contribute to the family economy. How can I possibly live up to that?" And you walk out of Mother's Day sermons after reading Proverbs 31 saying, "I am a failure as a woman." Well, that's not the point of that passage. We need to contextualize some of that. Because ladies, you need to understand, Proverbs 31 woman is not doing all that all the time. There were different seasons for it. You know, you don't go out every day looking for the field and say, "Well, okay, from 6 in the morning till 8 in the morning, I'm making clothes and mending socks and fetching water and doing laundry and managing all the servant girls in the house. And then from 8 o'clock to 12 o'clock, I'm going to be going." And that's not a daily routine for this gal. This is a lifetime of accomplishment. And so take some heart in there. Look at your life. Don't look at one day of it. Because let's face it, some days explode in your face. That's okay. It happens. That's part of living out this life that God has given us, and figuring out those problems is part of it. So keep Proverbs 31 in your mind, because we're going to reference a few of the things that go on there, but don't get into a rut of thinking to yourselves that you're a failure because you're not doing all those things every day. Neither did she. Think lifetime. Think general description. Don't think one day. Now, turn to Matthew chapter 6, and we're going to look at a passage that talks about another aspect of this. Now, why I bring up Proverbs 31, because I want to keep in our minds that there are legitimate concerns and needs for planning and activity. There are things that have to get done. Meals need made, laundry needs made, work needs accomplished. Whatever it is that God has given you to do, there are a lot of things in a day that need to be done, and they are legitimate, and there is a legitimate reason to think them through and plan out how to accomplish them. So we're going to try to build some definitions of the difference between concern and worry, between legitimate concern and illegitimate concern. And so to help temper that view, we're going to go to Matthew chapter 6. Verse 25, where Jesus is going to give us some principles on anxiety and worry. He says, "Therefore, I tell you, don't be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Well, look at the birds of the air. They neither sow, nor reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they?" Now, if we read through both of these, we might come to a little bit of a contradiction in our minds and say, wait a second, because Proverbs 31 gal spent a lot of time concerned about feeding and clothing her household. Now, Jesus is telling us, don't worry about food and clothes. God will take care of it. But is that what Jesus is saying? Is he saying that you don't have to work to provide for yourself? Is he saying that you have no responsibility in this matter, just sit down, watch those soap operas, and Judge Judy? Is Judge Judy even still on? Is she? Okay. My grandpa actually loved those judge shows. He went from one to the next in his retirement years. But is it that what Jesus is saying? Just go ahead, sit down, and do nothing all day, and God will take care of those things. No. What we have to establish is that in these two extremes, the Lord is helping us define where we're supposed to be. There is a legitimate labor. There is a legitimate activity that is our responsibility to take care of. But continue on with what Jesus is saying here, and I think he'll help us define it a little better. Which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? Okay, can you worry yourself into long life? No. Can you worry yourself into short life? Yeah, that works, okay? That works. But you can't add to it. How much in your control is the length of your life? Oh, there's a few things. Go ahead, Ed. Yes. Oh, that's okay. I saw a hand. You got to be careful. It's like an auction, right, Tom? You just bought the opportunity to say something, so. Yeah, that's right. Cross the arms. Don't scratch the forehead. Yeah. There are a few things that we can do, because we know about being healthy, eat healthy, exercise, but in the long run, does that in any way control how long your life is going to be? Not really. It gives you a better quality of life now. That's probably more the focus of it, is I'm healthy now, I'm taking care of myself, cut back on the no-bake cookies. Yeah, Tim says, what? Okay. We know those things of prudence and wisdom that say they give me a better quality of life now, but I have no guarantee of the next 5 minutes of my life. I have no guarantee of tomorrow. I have no guarantee of a year from now. Those kinds of things are in God's control. So I think the distinction that Jesus is making here is the things that are out of your control, don't worry about them. Now I know this is where I start to sound a little bit like a guy. Because ladies, you're laying on your pillow at night, you're worrying about things, and you say something to your husband about, boy, I'm just really struggling with thinking about this and this, and his answer is, well, that's easy, just don't. Forget about it. And he puts his head on the pillow and he falls fast asleep, and you lay there for the next hour and a half thinking through everything. Statistically speaking, you know how many, I think I looked up the number this last week, it's somewhere around 57%. Of guys fall asleep within 10 minutes of laying down. It's only about 35% of ladies, because ladies tend to lay there and think about their day. Okay? And so I know I sound a little bit like a guy standing up here and saying, well, just don't. But I'm not trying to say just don't. But I'm saying when you are laying there thinking about that concern, try to evaluate in your mind, is this something that I have any control over or isn't it? Because there are legitimate responsibilities, like the Proverbs 31 lady, that I am supposed to be concerned about and planning for and working to accomplish. But then there are things over which I have no control. And so when Jesus finishes up this section in verse 34, therefore do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. One of the things that the Lord gives us in handling anxiety, in handling care and concern, is to legitimately say, is this something I need to be concerned about, or is this something over which I have no responsibility and no control? So if I'm sitting there looking at my family with no food on the table, is it my concern to say, well, I should probably do something about that? The answer is, yes, that's a legitimate area. But should I sit there and say, oh boy, they don't have anything. It's just terrible. I can't believe that they have nothing to eat. This is awful. There are some areas where you have to say, this is my responsibility. This is what I need to try to take care of. Now, we're going to, as we get in and define this here, as we go further a little bit, we really want to emphasize that nothing you do should be done in your own strength or power. Whether it's washing laundry, preparing breakfast, doing paperwork, all of it has greater purpose. But Jesus' first principle for the difference between worry and concern, legitimate concern, is do you have a legitimate responsibility over that area, and is there anything you can do about it? Now I understand that's not magically just going to say, well, then I can shut it off. But it's going to help you identify which things need to be shut off and which things don't need to be shut off. So, what are some things that can help me define the difference between proper concern and worry or anxiety? So proper concern, is, as we've looked at in Proverbs 31, is going to be built upon God-ordained responsibilities, and it does consider how to best fulfill them. So if I know I've been granted a certain responsibility because of where God has placed me in life, and I have a legitimate area of responsibility, then I can try to plan out how best to accomplish that. Now, I have to stand up here every Sunday and Wednesday, and we teach, and Dan does Sunday school, and we plan for that. We plan out how to best accomplish the services. We plan the music. We plan the scripture readings. We plan those things. That's legitimate. I should plan for those things. You know what I don't worry about? How the other churches down the road are doing it. You know why? Not my area of responsibility. I have no control over it. I have no responsibility. I won't even answer to God for how they did it. I'll answer for here. And so I want to concern myself with that. So there is legitimate God-ordained responsibility. So try to think through. If there's something that just keeps running through your mind, ask yourself, is this legitimate? Do I have a God-ordained responsibility in this area of life? Secondly, am I relying on God to accomplish the necessary tasks, or am I trying to do it myself? Is my concern built on some idea that I have to accomplish all this, or it will go awry? Is there some idea in my mind that nobody else can get this done the way I can do it? Those lead you into worry. They lead you into anxiety because they're built upon pride. They're built upon fear. So ask yourself, am I relying on God to accomplish these tasks or not? Is it born out of a love for God to try to be pleasing to Him? Legitimate concern does ask, you know, if God gave me this responsibility, I want to do it in a way that pleases Him, so how can I best do it? Is it born out of a love for people and a desire to be a blessing to them? And so as I'm thinking about whatever issue it is you're thinking about, gals, are you trying to be a vehicle of blessing to other people? Or are you getting caught up in the actuation? You're getting caught up in the how to make it look best, how to make it seem the best, how to make it seem better than somebody else, right? That's the thrust of the Proverbs 31 woman. She fulfills her God-given responsibilities with any energy, with compassion. And one of the best ways to say, is this a legitimate area of responsibility or am I worrying, is can you rest when it's done? When you've done everything that you know to do, can you rest? We're going to look at that, Proverbs 1:27. They labor in vain. Or unless the Lord builds a house, they labor in vain that build it. And so there has got to be some recognition that I'm doing this with God's empowerment, with God's ability to be a vehicle of blessing, to be something that God can use to bless other people and to bring glory to Him in the doing it, so that when I'm finished doing it, I'll be able to say, it's done. Worry or anxiety, on the other hand, is not founded upon God-ordained responsibilities. It focuses on self-ascribed responsibilities, things you've taken on yourself that God never told you to take on. And so now you're worried, you're anxious, and you're stressed out, but it's because you've taken things upon yourself that God didn't give you to do. That's somebody else's responsibility. Places all of the onus of accomplishment on the self rather than on God. Worry or anxiety sees itself as the means for getting things done. That's why it worries someone. You know why you worry about those kind of things? Because you know the truth, you can't do it. And yet you've taken it on yourself and you're sitting there realizing, I can't get this all accomplished and that's really going to look bad. And so you worry and you're anxious. Worry or anxiety is motivated out of fear rather than love. It's fear of what might happen if you don't do this or that. Fear of how it might look to other people if you don't get it done just right. It's fear of what other people will think. But mostly it's a fear of what happens if God doesn't follow through on His promises. See, the things that God's given you responsibility to do, He's also promised to give you the ability to accomplish. And when we worry about things, we are telling God, I'm afraid that you're not going to do what you said. I'm afraid what life will look like if you don't keep your promise. Can you imagine a world where God didn't keep His promise? It'd be horrific. Worry or anxiety, rather than giving rest, consumes the mind and causes emotional exhaustion. So having kind of delineated, what's the difference between proper concern and worry or anxiety? When Jesus tells us, don't worry, don't be anxious about your life, He's telling us, don't have those improper concerns. Don't have the worry, don't have the anxiety that goes along with it. But He also gives us some tools to be able to help. Yeah, there's a guy word, right? Tools. What would be a girl word for that? I don't know. Kitchen utensils? Yeah. Utensils. Maybe that's a better word, right? I don't know. Not it's not always the woman that does all the cooking. How many of you guys do most of the cooking in your house? Yeah, nothing unmanly about that, right? Yeah, Tom raises his hand. Nothing unmanly about that. Sometimes we get this traditional role, like the woman's supposed to do all the cooking and the cleaning and the child raising, and the guy's supposed to, you know, fish. Or, I'm sorry, Joe, I wasn't meaning it that way. I'm going to...
You can make that point again.
Yeah. Yeah, Joe says, I like it. Yeah, no. I'm just going to close my mouth there and move on, okay? There's nowhere else to go from that statement except down. Nowhere safe, exactly, right. All right. So what Jesus gives us instruction on, don't worry about your adding to your life. Don't worry about things that you can't control. Don't worry about needs that aren't immediate. So even if it is your God-given responsibility to say, well, I got to make sure the family's fed, the clothes are done, house is clean, things like that, don't worry about whether or not those things will be accomplished a week from now, or 2 weeks from now, or a year from now. There's nothing you can do about a year from now. Nothing. Now, there might be some very long-term plans that you need to have in place. Well, I'm going to need a car in a couple of years. Well, okay, then start saving money now. That's legitimate. But you can't sit there worrying to yourself, say, well, we've got a Christmas party coming up, and boy, I wonder if I hope the house is going to be clean. How long does it take to clean the house? Can you get that done between now and then? Sure you can. So don't worry about provisions beyond the immediate need. That's why he tells us, don't worry about, you know, light clothes. You have the clothes on your back, so you're taken care of right now. Don't worry about food. God does provide that. Look at the lilies, I tell you, they neither toil nor spin. And Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of them. So God does care about you more than he cares about flowers and birdies. He will take care of you. He might use you to provide. You might have to go out and plant that food and grow it, but he will provide it. So there are areas you're responsible for, but don't worry. He also tells us in those verses, where'd it go? Sorry. Verse 33, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. So when we say don't be anxious about physical provisions beyond the immediate need, we also say do be seeking and laboring towards righteousness. Make that your priority. Be more concerned about how am I helping myself and my family grow in righteousness and in biblical understanding and in biblical obedience. Be more concerned about those things than you are about the food and the clothes. And do I look right? And is my hair combed perfectly? And does this color match my tie? Those are things we're not supposed to be worried about. But we are supposed to be worried about our progression in righteousness. The kingdom should be our highest priority. As we've said, don't be concerned about things over which you have no control. Another illustration of the same thing, of seeking first the kingdom of God, when Jesus is talking to Martha in Luke chapter 10. Martha was distracted with much serving. She went up to him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her to help me. So here's Martha getting all the preparations for the dinner ready, and Mary abandoned the preparations and went and sat and listened to Jesus' teaching. And I know some of you ladies can say, I get it. I'd be irritated too. If at the next church social, when there's stuff that needs to be done, all the ladies just abandon poor Kathy and the rest of the fellowship committee and say, we don't care. We're not going to help. Or when the afternoon service starts and nobody helps put away anything. And you can say, wouldn't that be irritating? So we can say we can get it. But Jesus' instruction to her is very telling in that area. I say, you know what? Will the dirty dishes be there afterwards? And you say, that's the problem! The dirty dishes will still be there! I can't go upstairs and worship with the church when there's still dirty dishes down there. But Jesus tells us to put this priority on. Yeah. He says to her in verse 41, Martha, Martha, you're anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her. 1 second, and he says, he's telling Mary what to prioritize. Seek first that kingdom of God. Seek first his righteousness. Ladies, be more concerned about your relationship with Christ than you are about whether or not the dishes get done, because there will always be more dirty dishes. Laundry never stops. Amen? When have we ever been caught up on laundry? We think we're caught up, and then we tell the kids to go clean their room, and in comes this pile, right? All right, go ahead, Ed.
The thing that hits me about it has been rattling around, and I'm sorry, I should have raised my hand sooner.
No, it's fine.
But it is absurd, is it not, to believe in the power of worry to fix our problems?
Absolutely.
I mean, it's like, which of you being anxious by being anxious can add a bit of stature? I mean, what is it that makes us feel that, all right, I know how to fix it, I'll worry.
Mm-hmm. But we do, don't we? Say, if I don't give this a whole lot of mental attention and energy right now, it'll never get done. Which leads us into our next point. Great segue, by the way. Right? Ed's saying we have a greater faith in our ability to worry to accomplish things than in the power of God. But one of the prime weapons that we've been given to deal with our concern is prayer. Because Paul specifically tells us, don't be anxious about anything. And again, that doesn't mean don't work to accomplish something. But there's a difference between legitimate concern and worry. And so all the prohibitions are, don't worry. That doesn't mean you don't have to plan. It doesn't mean you don't have to act. But it means don't worry. And so don't be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. So when I am consumed with a thought about something that needs to be done, as we talked about earlier, I have to identify, is it a legitimate area of my responsibility or isn't it? And if it isn't, then what's my prayer? Lord, help me to set this thing aside. Help me to quit worrying about this. And I tell you what, ladies, I know you're going to say, but I keep worrying about it. But ladies, every time the temptation to worry comes up is an opportunity for the grace of God to be shown in your life. Sometimes we get bent out of shape saying, why do I keep doing this? Why do I keep doing this? Because it's an opportunity for you to glorify God by submitting to Him. And so when He says, don't be anxious, but pray. And so you say, okay, I'm going to pray about it. And I'm getting worried about it, so the first thing I'm going to do, is it legitimate or isn't? If it's not, okay, Lord, help me to quit thinking about it. And I'm going to submit this to Him, and I'm going to pray about it. Now, that's not a magic pill. It's not like the first time you're going to pray, wow, I'm never worried about this ever again, because guess what's going to happen 5 minutes later? It's going to start creeping back in there, and you're going to have to again say, okay, Lord, please help me not to worry about this. And sometimes you might be on your knees nearly begging, saying, Lord, save me from this. This worry is consuming me. I need your help. If it is a legitimate area of concern, then your prayer is, Lord, help me to accomplish this in your power and for your glory to be a blessing to other people. Because this is an area that you've tasked me to do. And so every time you start thinking about it, then you're going to have to say, well, have I done everything I can do at this point to accomplish the mission God's given me to do? And if I've done it, then again your prayer has to be, okay, Lord, help me to set this aside. Because there is a time when God tells us to rest. And that's where Psalm 127 comes in. It's vain for you to rise up early and go late to rest, eating the bread of anxious toil, for He gives His beloved sleep. We are totally dependent in everything of our person. God did that on purpose. You can't exist a month without water. No, sorry, without food. You can't exist a week without water. You can't exist a few moments without air. Your heart stops beating. In 4 or 5 seconds, you'll pass out. And you'll be dead. Okay? We're dependent in every single way because God wants us to learn dependence. He wants us to learn that we need to depend on Him. One of the things that He has given us to teach us dependence is the need for rest. We can't pour out and pour out and pour out continually. God alone has an inexhaustible supply of strength. We heard that, right, guys? We like to think we're super strong. We're supermen. And to your 12-year-olds, you are. You can do anything. But even they need to know that there are times when God obeys the command to rest. And so, ladies, dealing with that anxiety, one of the ways to know the difference between anxiety and legitimate concern is a legitimate concern, you can set it to rest and say, all right, I've done everything I know how to do. Now I can rest. If it's consuming you, it's not letting you sleep at night, it's not letting you stop and pause because you fear that something isn't going to get done, that's worry. That's anxiety, and that's what God tells you to hand over to Him in prayer. So, ladies, as we go out from here today, I hope again that this hasn't sounded like a guy trying to make you ladies think like guys, because that's not my intent at all. If it has the way it has come across, then I'll just, as a guy, apologize. Not for being a guy, but God does have a purpose for you. And your unique way of looking at life is by His design. You are a complement. You are something that brings glory to God in the way that you perceive and think things through. Yes, sin has corrupted things. I'm not trying to deny that at all. But every temptation to use that unique womanness in a sinful way is an opportunity for the redeeming grace of God to shine. In submitting it to Him, and coming to Him, and depending upon Him, you ladies are a vehicle of immense blessing, both to your kids and your grandkids, your husbands, your church, your communities. And we praise God for you. So in those moments when you feel like I'm getting consumed by my worry, try to think through and say, is this something I need to accomplish, or is this something I'm taking on myself? Am I depending on my own strength to do this, or am I trying to accomplish this in the power of God? Am I doing this for me, or am I doing this for His glory? Am I doing this for me, or am I doing this for the benefit of others? And try to cut through that concern. Sometimes it does help to dissect something, cut it up into manageable pieces. So to help you with that, we have a little gift for you today. I'm going to send a couple of my boys back. Tim, go ahead and head back there. You're going to be doing the slides at the end, Daniel. All right, Pete, you want to head on back and help? Go ahead and hold one of those up, kiddo. We have a gift. It's a cutting board. We want to help you cut through your concern. Isn't that clever? We want to help you cut through that concern. So when you're doing something that is a mundane task like slicing bread or cutting vegetables or dicing up something, there's a little reminder on there to say, trust in the Lord. Don't worry. Don't be anxious. Let Him use you as a vehicle of blessing. But don't get consumed by the worry and concern that often consumes us. So we're going to stand together, and Dan's going to lead us in our final song here. Let it be said of us that the Lord was our passion.